And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn, stretching across the border to Fort Benning. I called it Fort Benning. And oh, by the way, even big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, aside from the massive footprint, we also have great people. And one of those is JP. You know the deal. On Fridays now, we started doing this thing we call JP on Sports because that's like his gig. I mean, I've never met anybody whose entire, like, evenings is mixed into watching one form of sports or another and then being able to recount details of it that I didn't know existed. So it's kind of fun. By the way, it's going to be more fun today because his dad and grandmother, my brother and mom, are both here in the studio staring at him as we do this because they came by because they're going to the Kirk Cameron event tonight.
They're not even in here. What are you talking about?
Oh, no. They're not here staring at you, right? She did bring fudge.
Yeah, okay. So she's here, but...
It's okay. It's great. All right, but hey, there is actually two rounds of this. First round, we call it the three and out. He picks the top three stories he believes are out there in sports world. It could be anything. But then we come back after the break and we do the second segment, and it's called the two-minute warning. I've got a timer and a buzzer, 2 minutes on any sports thing. But the main thing right now is he's got a new sound effect with some groupie sorority girls who thought it was cool. And so hit me some sound effect for it, bro. I still love that.
I think Phil likes it more than I do.
That's true, which is hard to imagine. But anyway, there it is. All right, man. Three and out. Number one, go.
So we got round two of the iBob.
The iBob.
Coming up this weekend. iBob 1 was a historical 1 versus 2, Auburn versus Alabama, which, to be honest with you, I don't know if we're ever going to get a 1 versus 2 Alabama in any sport ever again.
Ever.
So that, that was historical for sure. But we got round two now. The last game of the regular season before we go into SEC tournament play. Auburn clinched the regular season title with their win. Was it last week? And Alabama, I believe right now, clinched the 3 seed. Number two is Florida. Florida beat both Alabama and Auburn. So this game doesn't really have much on the line in terms of seeding or whatever, but obviously it's a rivalry, so a grudge match is always going to be.
And they both dropped this week, too.
Yeah, so they're both limping into this one because Auburn lost to Texas A&M, and then Alabama lost by, I believe it was 5 to Florida at home. And, you know, I think it's at this point in the season, the SEC teams have beat up on each other like crazy. I feel like... I mean, it's kind of what you expect. Alabama fan hat on here. I'm not really worried because Alabama, I mean, they're playing teams that are top 10, top 15 every week in the SEC. So I think once either team, any SEC team, once they get to the tournament and they're done playing other SEC teams, I think they're going to be just fine. So, but yeah, this is the last game of the year. Like I said, it's always, I mean, Alabama, Auburn, and A-Sport, the tensions are going to be high. So although there's not much seeding on the line, all that's kind of figured out, it's just, I mean, a rivalry game. It's always going to be.
It is. iBob number 2, Iron Bowl of basketball. iBob number 2 is going to be in the jungle too, right?
Yep.
And down at Auburn.
And I won't play my Bruce Pearl sound effect till after the game because I played it before the game last time and Alabama ended up losing. So I'm going to put that on hold.
You think that's why?
Yeah, maybe I jinxed it. I don't know. Or maybe it's just Auburn's just
all
that
I know
good.
Is I'll say War Eagle because that's what we do. But I am not going to underestimate anything. This is number 1 versus number 2, and it's still the iBob, which means anything goes.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, we'll see how Alabama solidified a 2 seed at least. Auburn is going to be the number 1 overall seed in the whole tournament. So we'll see. I don't think either team is going to drop their tournament seeding after this loss. But we'll see. We'll see who can, if there's going to be a split or if Auburn sweeps. We'll see this weekend. iBob 2.
Hey, let me throw this out there too. Not trying to like take away from more time you got, but I think the reality is this is not an Alabama state Alabama story. Mm-mm. This is national.
Yeah,
this is the entire world of college basketball is watching this game.
Yeah, and if you thought Alabama Auburn football was the greatest rivalry in
not
college
no
football,
mo.
Now we got Alabama-Auburn basketball, which may be the best rivalry in basketball now. So I think that's what's special about Alabama-Auburn rivalries is it transcends all sports.
You know, I heard they both have strong cornhole teams.
Yeah, and we go head-to-head at cornhole too. Yeah. But you know, Duke UNC in basketball, that's kind of just basketball. Michigan-Ohio State football, that's just football. Alabama-Auburn, no matter what sport it is, it's high emotion. So I think that might be the best rivalry in all college sports.
All right, dude, that's number one. You got time for two and three. What you got?
Yeah. So my favorite UFC fighter will be fighting this weekend in a massive UFC card coming up. Big pay-per-view, UFC 313. We got Justin Gaethje versus Rafael Fiziev. This is the rematch of this as the co-main event. We got the main event, Alex Pereira fighting Magomed Ankalaev. How about that?
I don't know how you even say the names. All right.
But this is Pereira's greatest test yet. So as a Alex Pereira fan, it's got me nervous. But this is kind of like the biggest, you know, pay-per-view of the year so far for the UFC. So I'm very excited to watch that. It's kind of been weak UFC cards the last couple of weeks. So I'm excited to see a great UFC card this weekend. But yeah, and by the way, Pereira, Alex Pereira, his nickname is Poetan, which is a Brazilian for hands of stone, by the way.
Hands of stone.
If that tells you anything about this dude, I think he's the scariest guy in the UFC. So I'm quite excited to watch
this weekend. Hands of stone. Mm-hmm. All right. All right, cool. That's number two. So you went IBOB 1, UFC 2. What's three?
So this one is probably going to – my emotions are probably going to get ramped up again because I'm beyond frustrated. 45 Democrats voted against Tuberville's Protect Women and Girls Sports Act.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, the same people that voted against this bill to protect women wore pink to Trump's speech to try to us women stand against you, Trump, but yet we just voted, to keep men and women's sports. So it's pretty ridiculous to me. I had little hopes that they would get 60 votes, which is what I need to pass, but come on, no Democrat voted for it? Not one? You're telling me Fetterman didn't vote for it or any of the other somewhat... Yeah, and it's funny to me because Fetterman has been distancing himself from his party or trying to... he's been putting out these tweets talking about how ridiculous those Democrats are and y'all got to realize this is why he lost. But yet he votes for these radical woke bills. So I don't... It drives me nuts that we can't get bipartisan support on a common sense layup bill like this. I feel like this is a layup bill for the Democrats to... get away from why they lost, and yet they continue to pander to their radical end of their party and they're doubling down on it. It's just absolutely ridiculous. So Trump's executive order did not get backed up by law yet, but I would say this fight is not over. I would hope at least that we're able to get, and this passed in the House. So it's amazing that this did not pass
with several, I think two or three Democrats joined in the House.
Yeah. I mean, a handful of Democrats were able to, come and, get that passed, but I don't know. But this also enables the NCAA, in my opinion, because I mentioned it in the Out of Right Field podcast. Technically, this is a forced show. Their change of policy, where they said, "Oh, well, Trump's made it clear we're going to change our policy to keep men out of women's sports, but it still lets them access facilities, it still lets them practice, it still lets them, have access to all that stuff." But then also the method of testing your gender is your birth certificate, which you can amend your birth certificate in 44 states. So the liberal policymakers in the NCAA know what they're doing with this. So this policy, this quote change policy, is really nothing. So I was really hoping that this Tuberville bill would get passed so that the NCAA, their feet would get held to the fire to actually change something here. But nope, it looks like that the Democrats continue to pander and the NCAA was just enabled even more to, keep doing this for show. We're changing, but not really.
And here's the thing. There's two reasons to put that bill on the floor, not knowing where the votes were. One is because you're hoping you got the votes at the last minute, and two is because you put them on the record.
Yep.
And so Tuberville made them go on the record. They now have to defend. And you got people like John Ossoff running for a re-election in the Senate from Georgia in a somewhat purple state, and he just impacted women's sports in a big way, and it's going to be a campaign issue for him because he is now officially on the record.
A bunch of Democrats put themselves on those crazy ads you see of like the transgender ad that Trump ran against Kamala, where it just talked about her being in support of, was it inmates getting transgender? Like they just put themselves on the record. All 45 of them put themselves on the record. Their opponents, like Ossoff's opponent, whoever that is, I guarantee you that's going to be a big part of his campaign. Is like, you want to vote for the guy that just voted for this or against this bill, this layup common sense bill?
Yeah.
So hopefully this ends up, getting rid of those folks so that Republicans have an even bigger majority in the Senate, so that maybe after 2026 a bill can get passed and Trump's executive order can become law. But yeah, I just it drove me up a wall, man, because, you know, like I said, I got a sister that plays college sports. I got, you know, my mom used to play college sports, so like it I can't even imagine, you know, having to watch, you know, family members of mine play against sports or against men in sports. So the fact that they're not even thinking that, they're just, the Democrats appear to just be falling in line with their party and continuing to double down, and it's going to end up costing them. So hopefully it does cost them, and we can get people in there that will vote for common sense bills like that.
If not, then your mom and dad would need to hire me as their attorney, because I'm pretty sure there'd be problems.
Yeah.
I could, you know, since your mom has access to the women's locker room, I would say she'd probably go in there with a stick.
Yeah, I would hope so. But yeah, it's hopefully we get around to this bill after these people get out, primaried out, because like I said, they did not help themselves.
Well, and I think a great point needs to be made here. You do a podcast, and your podcast is sports, but you also talk culture. And I think it's fair to say that what you just said there and what you just did for the last few minutes is you clearly exhibited that culture, sports is part of culture.
Yep.
And culture is literally, you know, politics is downstream from culture. Mm-hmm. And so what you just did was you clearly outlined that politics had a dramatic impact on sports. And so conservatives, think about all the times about the kneeling at the anthem,
yep,
Colin Kaepernick and all mm-hmm. that stuff. I mean, it's amazing how much you can find that is conservative values oriented or not, and it's tied up in sports.
Mm-hmm. It's important to know where you need to stand on those issues.
All right, dude, that's three. That's the three and out. All right, that's three and out. We're heading to the break right now. Good timing. Three and out with JP on sports. We're coming right back. We'll go to round number two, and that's called the two-minute warning. I got a timer and a buzzer, and we'll just see what all he's got for 2 minutes each. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're back for round two of JP on Sports. So this is the section we call the two-minute warning. I've got a timer and a buzzer, and he's got as many two-minute stories about sports he can cram in. So, JP, 2 minutes starts. Ready? Go.
So, this story started late last night into early this morning. So, after the Lakers game last night, LeBron is leaving the court. Stephen A. Smith sitting courtside. LeBron and Stephen A. get into it courtside. LeBron gets in Stephen A.'s face, and another video, a fan had a video of it and caught LeBron's lips saying, keep my son's name out of your mouth. And somebody talked about how Stephen A. Smith earlier, I think it was a couple of days earlier, said how LeBron was forcing his son, you know, Bronny plays on the Lakers.
Right.
A lot of people think that Bronny should not be in the NBA. He should be in college developing, which I would agree with that. But Stephen A. kind of called out LeBron, saying now he's forcing his son into the spotlight when he's not ready, yada, yada, yada. And that caused this back and forth between LeBron and Stephen A. late last night. And Stephen A. went on First Take this morning, and he kind of said, you know, he understood where LeBron was coming from, you know, as a concerned father and such. But then he kind of doubled down and said that, look, I'm not going after your son. I'm going after, you know, you as a father, because he thinks LeBron is he's putting up his son on a pedestal for his own ego, you know, look at me sort of deal, putting too much pressure on his son, which I would agree with. But I don't know, with Stephen A. and the Stephen A. also just signed a $100 million new contract with ESPN to let him talk more about politics. So maybe Stephen A. is getting a lot more clicks with this story, the political story. It makes me wonder, is he trying to get more into the limelight for his own ego, or is he...
is he going to run for something?
There's
talk.
There's talk he's going to run for something, which I saw a poll. He's at like 2% already in the Democratic Party. But yeah, it's a crazy story for, you know, with Stephen A. and LeBron. But that just kind of illustrates. I've seen Stephen A.'s name in the headlines a lot lately. I wonder if he's going to use that at all.
Well, and LeBron needs to go ahead and toughen up a little bit, because he can't say keep my son's name out of your mouth when his son is a professional athlete.
Yep.
And that's what Stephen A. does for a living.
Yep. If you're going to want your son in the NBA, this is what you got to deal with. So.
2 minutes. There you go. All right. Next, clear the clock, start the clock, go.
So with the spring ball starting for football, college football, we've got a lot of position battles in the headlines. Auburn's position battle for QB is pretty much set. I mean, they spent $3 million on Jackson Arnold in the transfer portal, so it's pretty clear Jackson Arnold is Auburn's guy going into next year. However, Alabama, Jalen Milroe went to the draft, so we got a QB battle in Tuscaloosa. We got Ty Simpson, who has been the backup for 5 years at Alabama. Keelan Russell, who is the highest-rated recruit in Alabama history, who is coming in as a freshman quarterback. And then another guy, Austin Mack, who came with DeBoer from Washington. So we got a three-horse race here, but I think it's really a two-horse race between Keelan and Ty Simpson. A lot of people, and I would agree, would say Ty Simpson's the safe option. He's done his time as a backup. He's looked really good in spring games and when he's gone in during garbage time. A lot of people think it'd be safest to hand him the reins. But a lot of people think you got the highest rated recruit in Alabama history. If you don't play him right away, is he going to leave in this new NIL era? You know, if he's coming in expecting to start, which he said he is, will he be okay taking a back seat and developing for a year? But I think this is going to be a close QB battle. I mean, Keelan Russell, like I said, he's the highest rated recruit in Alabama history, not just, you know, quarterback. Any recruit in history with Alabama. So that says something. He's clearly got the talent to play in college football. The question is he going to be ready to start as a freshman? Is he going to handle all the pressure that comes with being the starting QB and such? Initially, you know, like I said, if it wasn't this NIL era, I would say start Ty Simpson, let Keelan develop in the, you know, as a backup and then start him next year. But as a Bama fan, it worries me if he doesn't start right away. Is he just going to leave, you know, go somewhere else? So, but that with the spring practice starting this week, there's been a lot of video of them throwing side by side, a lot of drills videoed and such. So it's an exciting battle in Tuscaloosa.
There it is. All right. And I got to add this real quick to say I admire Ty Simpson's ability to hang on. He could have gone in the portal. Yep. He could have gone and even played for a slightly lesser school, but gotten all kinds of play time. Mm-hmm. And he chose to stay at the school. Basically, he danced with the one that brought him.
Exactly.
And so I admire that, especially in today's day of the portal and NIL. Our next 1 2-minute starts now.
So we were just talking about talking heads for basketball with Stephen A. Smith. Another one that made some headlines last night was Charles Barkley, because, you know, the Inside TNT NBA, one of the greatest shows ever, not just sports, ever, of Charles Barkley, Shaq, Ernie Johnson, and then Kenny Smith. Their TNT contract's up after this year, and apparently the ESPN has brought them all under their umbrella. So after the TNT era is over for them, they're going to work for ESPN. But Charles Barkley called out his future employer because apparently he went after them for not covering the right stories in the NBA. But you could tell that's not really – he kind of used that as a reason to go after ESPN. That was just kind of his for show reason. There was a lot of animosity talking about ESPN is not talking about the right stuff. They're not actually for the brand of basketball. They're just, you know, for getting clicks, and maybe they're in the DEI woke stuff too with the anchors they have on that I can tell you don't know anything you're talking about with sports. So it was interesting. You know, it was a weird dynamic. Charles Barkley and the Inside TNT staff are about to go to ESPN. But yet, Charles Barkley is not one to mince words, and he's been very open and public about his dislike for ESPN. So I think TNT made a crucial mistake not renewing their contract for this next year, but we'll see if ESPN can make things right with Barkley, because apparently he's got some beef with ESPN as they're going over there next year.
That's crazy.
I know. Ernie Johnson, you know, kind of tried to rein him in a little bit, but Charles Barkley, he has no filter, and that's why people love him. So he's made it open through this whole process. he's not happy that TNT didn't renew their contract, and he's not happy with ESPN and how they do things, which is about to be his employer. So, like I said, it's going to be a very interesting dynamic. We'll see if things smooth over or not.
He's got no filter, and his bank account's already big enough.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't need the money.
There it is, 2 minutes. How much time we got left? You got time?
We got 10 seconds.
You got 10 seconds for me to tell you, great job.
Thank you very much.
All right, that is JP on sports once again. You can catch him on the Ump on Saturday mornings doing the show Off the Bench from 9 to 11 on weekend mornings. And then, oh, by the way, he's got his own podcast, which comes out on Mondays, and that is called Out of Right Field. So more of the same, culture, politics, all of it, with sports. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.